Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversation, where two artists just get together and just shoot the shit for a little bit. You can find this show on Apple Podcasts under Creative Conversations and also Spotify under Creative Conversations. Just look for my face and make sure you click that follow button to raise us in the algorithm so that way other people can hear the conversation. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young lady here is one of the coolest photographers that I've ever met. She is super, super chill, super humble, will definitely go out and shoot with you, but at the same time, get her behind that camera and she is mean with the storytelling. Give it up for the awesome Essence. What's happening?
What's up? I appreciate this.
Nah, it's all good. I appreciate you coming on the show, young. It was crazy because I was thinking about it the other day before we decided to get on the show that how we met, and it was through like that photo meetup, right? It was like the small photo meetup.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too, because when the photos popped up on my featured photos on my phone, so I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. But yeah, that was a fun day.
It was. That was the very first time I dealt with like sunflowers, and it was like rainy a little bit, so it gave a kind of like a mood.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, but you came out there and did your thing. You definitely took some awesome shots of just everybody, including everything you were shooting around us. So definitely became a fan from there. And I remember we went on a photo walk with just us two at downtown Atlanta.
It was freezing that day.
Man, what? we had to cut that short. We did, but we got some good photos out there, and I got you on that parking deck.
Yeah, no, you got some good photos of me. I like that a lot.
Nah, for sure. And since then, I've just seen your work just grow like crazy. So I'm definitely proud of you. And I'm, you know, of course, I've been a fan since day one. So
thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. So before we get into it, tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
I'm not great at this, but let me give it a try. I am a photographer from Toronto, but I'm based here in Atlanta. I've been based here since I started shooting. So, yeah, I've been doing this for about 9 years. And I shoot film and digital, fashion, behind the scenes, portraits, music, sometimes events. And, yeah, I love it.
I feel it. And y'all see how chill she is? She's just really just vibey. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, I just shoot. I've been doing this for 9 years. You know, I'm a vet in the game. But then when you see her working, it's going to be like, yo, that chill demeanor, just, I'm telling you, just the story. Y'all got to check it out. Y'all going to get her Instagram and everything at the end. So let's go ahead and get started with the beginning. When it comes to you being an artist, you definitely have a lot to say behind the lens. How did that really start for you? Were you always behind the camera, or was that something that you just picked up along the way?
So I've never really liked being in front of the camera. But I've always had an interest in photos, movies, all that, TV shows. And I was like, I want to do this. And I tried to get into the program at my school, because we were an art school. And they had a film program, they had a video program, all that, even a photography program. But since I wasn't in the arts program, I was in the magnet program, they wouldn't let me get into those classes. So I was like, all right, whatever, it's fine. I just kept doing my studies and playing basketball. And then towards the end of my senior year, my older brother, he had a camera. He was shooting at his college and stuff. And he let me borrow his camera for senior week because I just wanted to take photos of my friends. But I ended up taking photos of, like, my friends, just parts of the school, and that's really when I fell in love with it. So yeah, ever since end of senior year of high school, I've been shooting. And then one of my friends from high school, he wanted to be a model. So I hit him up and was like, you want to shoot? And we got a shoot in. The first shoot, I was like, oh, this is hard. Like, these photos are great. Looking back at them now, nah. They're not good at all. They're not good at all. But I do see potential even back then. Like, I had a bit of an eye already. But yeah, so it really started from there. So he and I were shooting a lot, and then when I wasn't shooting with him, I would just walk around the city because I lived right downtown, so had access to everything. I could just walk everywhere and take photos. So I'd spend hours outside, and yeah, started from there.
I feel that. And it's always dope to have somebody who is already modeling just right in your back pocket. Like, yo, you model, I shoot. Let's become the dynamic duo.
Exactly, yeah.
And then
I
you
didn't
get
even know that
everything
could be a
going.
thing.
No, it's definitely a thing, trust. And it's kind of dope because just like you, I started in high school as well. I started junior year. I didn't really know I wanted to get into it till like maybe the mid to end of senior year. So it was cool. And I remember I didn't like it at all in the beginning.
Really?
At all. No.
Why not?
Because of pinhole cameras.
Oh,
That was
okay.
trash.
That's different.
Yeah. So it's like the aperture would be too big, the aperture would be too small. And for those who don't know, pinhole cameras is nothing but a black painted box with a little slide and some foil with camera with film in it. And you have to lift up the slide to let enough light in so you can get the exposure. And you can let too much light in or too little light in. And you just gotta poke a hole in that foil.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to start off with for sure.
Yeah,
So
that I guess they
I
wanted
see
us
that.
to, right. And it's like, I think they wanted us to appreciate it. And oh, this is the start. No, bump all that. Just give me the 35 millimeter like y'all did second semester so I can fall in love with it then. But that was awful. But I digress. I made it through. But with that is interesting too that you wanted to get into the arts program, but at the same time they wouldn't let you because or really get into an arts class, but they wouldn't let you because you weren't in the program. So they were just trying to hinder your potential. They were some haters. I ain't gonna hold you.
No, because I knew I could do something. I knew it, and it's just they really wouldn't let me. It really hurt me for real.
No, I can imagine. I definitely can imagine. But I mean, you definitely persevere to get the work that you have out now, and you were still able to find a way and grow. And it's cool that your brother pretty much came in clutch for you.
Exactly. Now I'm grateful for him and my uncle Miguel. They both helped me a lot because they were both photographers at the time. My uncle's still doing it too. My brother's now a designer, but well, he always has been. But anyway, they really helped me hone my skills and really just develop my eye more. And from them, like, I was able to become who I am now.
Nah, for sure. Shout out to them, man. Y'all definitely did y'all thing with her to be able to give her the start to where she is now. And as you continue to build and grow, you're just going to continue to build your name in this game. It's definitely a dope story to tell, but at the same time, as your story builds, you're constantly building stories around the clientele that you work with. So give me a little bit of the aspect of the storyteller that is Essence. How do you really get your inspirations in order to do the type of storytelling that you do.
So for me, I when it comes to clients and stuff, I don't think too much about the idea prior. Of course, clients and models tend to have ideas and stuff, and I'm like, all right, cool, I could work with this. And then from there, once we get on set, it's really just the vibe and the location and just lighting conditions too, because I almost always would shoot outdoors, and yeah, everything around us would be the inspiration for the story. That's really it for me. Like I never really came up with things. It's just like in the moment, oh, this looks nice. Everything, most things have been about aesthetics for me. Like if it's aesthetically pleasing to me, then I will want to capture it, and I'll find a way to do it and make it mine.
Oh, no, I feel that. I definitely understand where that comes from in regards to really setting the tone for your shoot. Sometimes you just get the inspiration on the spot. So, like, what do you describe on the spot? Like, give me one of your favorite moments or one of your favorite times where you just felt it as soon as you just landed in the spot that you needed to shoot in.
Well, that's a good question. I gotta think about that. It's really The lighting of the sun has been a big inspiration. So if it's hitting right, I will move the model to where they need to be. Just like in the hand photo I have of one of my best friends, we were shooting on this super cold day, but it was towards sunset, and we were in the perfect spot where the sun was hitting off of a billboard and it was reflecting back on her. And I'm like, all right, you're a little too short, but put your hand up. So she put her hand up, and it's my favorite photo to this day. I took that back in January 2018. It's still the background on my phone. Like, I really love that photo. I don't think I'll ever top that. Like, there are a lot of other photos I love, but that one is the one for me because it was really just the most spontaneous thing.
I remember that photo vividly because I remember when you posted it and I was like, dang, this is really clean. But then I always saw it. I always saw it. And so, and I'm not saying that in a bad way at all, but that just goes to show that that's something that you truly loved about that image to where it's going to stay with you forever. And to me, anyway, it's hard as a photographer to get to a point where you have an image that you absolutely love because sometimes we can be very critical about our work. So to be able to have that and remember when you took it, for some reason, the cold is always with you, but that's fine. You definitely capture something that could live on, and at the same time, you never know what can come of it, especially as your name grows. So that's super awesome that you do have that. So now, the scene inspires you as a storyteller because you basically build the story as you're there. But outside, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you have any other inspirations outside of your brother or and your uncle, or are they your main inspirations as an artist as a whole?
Movies help a lot. The whoever I'm shooting, just their presence, their energy. Yeah, that's pretty much it, like all of that.
Okay, cool. So basically, you just pull inspiration wherever it finds you. Hey, I like that. Like a true artist. I love that. So you coming to the artist movie nights I used to have, that was like a big inspiration for you too.
Oh yeah, no, I think about that movie a lot. Those movies we watched, Raid and Raid 2, or The Raid and The Raid 2, and yeah, those. I've never seen anything like that. It's really. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the invite too.
Oh nah, it's all good. You were one, you my people, so I had definitely had to make sure you came to it. And y'all, just so y'all know, I used to hold like these dope artist movie nights like once a month, and we would watch two movies in one night. And I would just invite different people who I was cool with as artists, no matter what kind of art you did, so that way different people could just mingle and just have a good time. And it was always a good vibe, always. And then the pandemic happened, so we can't do it as much. But I would hope to do that again soon. And you're gonna get an invite.
Let me know.
You already know. So, describing your inspirations in a way that just comes to you, would you say that your style just comes to you as well? Or did you actually like pull from somewhere to really develop your style? Or someone, I should say.
Nah, I think that just came to me as well. Everything just comes to me. I don't I don't know. I really am not good at explaining my process because there's not really much to it other than like, oh, this is good. It just happens, you know?
That's actually very modest. That's really funny because I'm thinking of it and it's like somebody might even think of it as arrogant, and I don't think so at all. Sometimes you can just come into a room and just be like, hey, this is what I got to work with. We about to make some shake. So let me see if I can, from a consumer's perspective, right? So I see your photos and I'm like, your style is a movie. Your style represents movies and telling a cinematic story on either someone's business, someone's music, someone's expression of themselves, or just really just telling their story as a whole about who they are and what they represent. Oh, I told you I paid attention. I told you I was a fan.
No, that's exactly it. Like, I do really love when people say my photos sound or look like a movie, like a still from a film. And that's really one of the highest compliments I could get.
No, it does though. When it comes to picking that film aesthetic, what is like the process of really choosing the right aesthetic for your model and or client? Because I know there's some that are like a little darker, there's some that are a little more vintage, there's some that are like soft with the light. What would be your process when creating that or choosing that style?
So I really just like to highlight them in what I see. And it's another thing that's inexplicable to me. It's just like, oh, I see this and this would work for them so well. 'Cause I could see like some people are a little more modest. I don't want to push them too far out of their comfort zone, but I will just to get like the right photos. But as far as lighting and stuff and color grading, it's really just making them pop.
Yeah.
It's all about making them pop.
Nah, I get what you mean by sometimes you just gotta push it a little bit in order to get the image that you desire. I remember doing a shoot, and I don't know if I talked about this on the show before, but I did a shoot. Shout out to Sally D. We were in the studio and she had like this like darker aesthetic. Like she had like this leotard on with this dope like hairstyle, kind of like an Elvis kind of hairstyle, if you will, kind of just give you the idea of the shape. And it was like a dark eye, dark lip, and it was like supposed to be really moody, really fashion forward. And I remember I really wanted this like intense image with like her mouth open, eyes wide, like eyes shut really tight to really give like this harsh, harsh expression. So I literally made her scream in the studio. So I was like, we're going to like, in order for me to get it, you got to scream. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, like just do, we did like maybe 4 or 5 times. And the image came out pretty dope, but that was my first time ever like really pushing my subject to do something in order to get the shot. So I understand completely like what you mean by that. Like sometimes you gotta be a little uncomfortable, you know, to get that shot right. But of course
You understand.
yeah, but they have to agree, of course. Don't be out here just making
Oh
people
no,
uncomfortable,
yeah.
people. They gotta agree
That's
to
one
the
thing. I do
terms.
not like making people uncomfortable, so I will try to push them, but I'm not about to make them feel bad or terrible about themselves, 'cause that's gonna translate in the photos as well.
Like some people underestimate the power of like this, the power of really building rapport and really making someone laugh in the photo versus them trying to fake it. Like you can really tell that difference, you know? Now, I know that sometimes not every shoot goes very well. Sometimes the planning process might be a little off. Sometimes the weather doesn't really work the way you need it to. The sun will definitely hide from you before you can shoot again. Give me some of your tough moments, like your down moments when it came to either shooting or even building your craft up until now, and how did you overcome some of those challenges?
So what I would say was in the beginning I was shooting with like just the basic DSLRs. The first camera was an Olympus E510 or something. Now that camera really sucked. But it was a camera, like I was able to use it.
Yeah.
And it worked and it got me photos from my eye to the computer. So I would say just like at the beginning, I felt like having the best equipment was what I needed, but I realized like I ended up getting a Nikon D5200, and I use most of my photos are on that camera now, or off of that camera,
Yeah.
right before I got my Sony A7 III. But for like the 4 years, 5 years I had that Nikon, I was like, okay, I cannot afford anything better. So I will just figure out this camera and make the best work I can out of this. And people would always be surprised that I was shooting off of a D5200. And they always thought, oh, you have like a full frame Nikon, Canon, what do you have? I'm like, nah, just D5200. So that's one thing I would say is just being able to use what I have, despite like what it may seem it can't produce. You can always make something great still. And then other tribulations, probably conditions were always an issue because I shot outside most of the time.
True.
But I would definitely just reschedule, or sometimes one time I got caught in the rain with my model and he was down to shoot in the rain. And we ended up having to sprint to like the train station to get cover after a while because it was just a little too hard of a rain. But I don't know. It's just really just working with what you have despite anything that may get in the way.
And there you have it, people. Work with what you have despite of what can get in the way. That's coined. All right. You're definitely going to inspire somebody with that. Trust me. No lie. And that is kind of funny, though, that you started with a D5200, because I remember asking you specifically about your lens when I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, well, I shoot with a 35. I was like, you're doing all this with a 35?
Yeah, just a 35 1.8.
1.8. And you actually inspired me to get mine.
Yeah.
You definitely did. So I don't know if you remember that photo of young lady. She was light skinned. She had her hair like up in like a forward ponytail sort of. And she was under like a neon sign.
Yeah.
I shot that. I bought the 35 and shot that with the 35.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was your first one with that?
Yeah, that was my first shoot with the 35 ever.
Oh, wow.
So right. I appreciate you for sure. Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you that, but you definitely inspired me to get that lens.
No, I didn't know that. I do remember that photo, so you could tell. If I remember it, I liked it for sure.
See, my work, she remembers it. And I shot that a few years ago. No, but going back to what you said about really just picking up the pieces with the things that you have. I've always mentioned this before, and I'll keep mentioning it. Chase Jarvis, he was a photographer. I don't know if he's still shooting now, but I remember him saying the best camera is the one that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. Just like you. Right. So just like you, I was in the mindset that you always had to have the best. And I remember speaking to two different photographers and they were telling you, get to know your equipment that you have. And then you'll be able to produce more. And shout out to my homeboy, London. I remember talking to him when I got my first full frame camera, which I still have, the D750.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, I was like, yo, this is the very first time where the tools mattered. Because before, it's not about the tools. It's about your skill set and learning the principles. After
exactly.
that, you can take advantage of your tools. Yeah. So you gotta use the tools that you have, make what you can. And then you'll get people just like me. I had a D3000. So I was kind of like in the same family.
There you go.
And you shot that with an entry level D5200, entry level mm-hmm. camera. Just because it's entry level don't mean you can't do some dope shit with it.
Exactly.
So with the dope shit that you've done, you've been doing this for 9 years. Mm-hmm. You are a true vet in the game right now. You're about to hit a decade in a minute.
Yeah, it's crazy. Time flies for real.
Right. So what would you tell your beginning self now that you have 9 years behind the lens?
Honestly, just believing in myself more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't do a lot of things because I doubted myself.
Ah, okay.
Like there'd be people who would email me and I would just ignore the emails because I'm like, oh, this is overwhelming. I might not be able to execute this. So I'm just not going to respond and hopefully they go away. But the thing is, like, even some of the people that I did ignore, like in the early days, they ended up reaching back out and we ended up making some great work together too. So it's like sometimes everything happens for a reason and it just isn't the right time. So, but yeah, I would just tell myself to believe in myself because that was definitely a big problem for me.
Oh, yeah.
And it still is sometimes because
really,
you know how it is. It's just,
I mean, I do. I'm not gonna lie to you, I do. It's interesting that you say that simply because, I mean, again, our work speaks and you would think that, oh, they know what they're doing. They got it. They they handle everything well, but behind the scenes, you just don't know. We know we're real people. We go through our hard times, and for you to feel like you would have to tell your past self to believe in yourself is interesting, because that's very vulnerable to be able to admit that sometimes I just, you know, in the past and even now, you just have that moment where, can I really do this?
Right.
But you can, and you have, and you're going to continue to do it, because you have no choice but to be dope. And, you know, without that drive and without that energy and positive reinforcement, I mean, nothing that we have today would be done.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
even recently I had the same thoughts, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to accept it anyways. And if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But it doesn't go wrong. Or hasn't gone wrong. So I'm just like, okay, there's no reason to think like this or to continue to think like this, because I feel like these 9 years have prepared me for most of the things that are coming my way. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. And that's why you're a legend in the game, young. So with that, you have prepared yourself in many ways, including shooting film and digital. So, you know, you're very versatile behind the lens. Explain the process when it comes to shooting your digital work versus your film work.
So with digital, I've been doing digital since day one. I didn't know anything about film, and I ended up getting a film camera off of Facebook for $50, and it came with like 4 lenses.
Nice.
This was like 2016 maybe, and I'm like, all right, let me shoot with this, let me figure this out. And that first roll, it was terrible, so I'm like, I'm never shooting film again, let me just stick to digital. And I just had that camera sitting for like the next 3 years or so, and I finally picked it back up, and I fell in love with film. And so with digital, everything is, I know I can see like how everything's gonna look through the viewfinder or through the screen. But with film, it's a different story. I still use my my Sony is basically a light meter for my film cameras.
Okay.
The ones that don't have light meters built in. And that helps me a lot and gives me more confidence when it comes to shooting film, because I know, okay, it can, as long as I get the lighting right, it won't be a terrible photo. So that helps a lot, especially when I have my Mamiya with my Minolta, what is it, X700?
The one you just got, right?
That's the Mamiya is the one I just got.
Okay, okay.
I got it about a year ago, maybe. Was that a year? I don't know. Yeah, it was about a year ago, I think. But anyway, yeah, so for the Minolta, it has a built-in light meter. I don't have to worry about that. It's really just paying attention to the light meter while I'm shooting.
Sure.
And for the Mamiya, I got to just take my time, really take my time, pay attention to everything, make sure it's steady, because it only goes to f4, so it doesn't let in a whole bunch of light, especially at night.
Right, right.
And then shutter only goes to 400.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's something I had to really adjust to and take my time with, but I think I adjusted pretty quickly. And I that was basically from these past 9 years of shooting. I think I'm just a good enough photographer to where I can just easily go into medium format, which I'm grateful for, because I know some people were able, had a bit of a tough time. But yeah. Okay, answer your question.
No, you did. No, you definitely did. And that was a bit of a flex too. No, it's all good. You just went in. You were like, let me go ahead and go to my tools right quick.
Slight flex. Yeah.
A little slight flex. Like, oh yeah, about film. I does this. You know what I'm saying? I started with digital. It was cool, but you know, film is.
Yeah,
I'm becoming a master in these 9 years.
Not yet.
Nah. Digital and film are super dope, right? They all have their great elements. Digital, very speedy. You were able to get things done quickly. And as the technology gets better, your photos get better. It's like, it's really, really dope as the medium grows. But when it comes to your analog, it's the texture of the photo.
The characters. That's me. Yes. That's what I love about film. Like, it can't be replicated.
Right.
Like, people can come close to digital, but it's not, like, I can always tell it's not it.
Exactly, because there's like a grain, right? So it's not pixels at all. So when it comes down to that, it feels natural.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it but comes
still,
from the earth.
Still like dreamlike in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And with it, in order for you to really get a good image through that particular medium, you have to take your time. There are tools, like you mentioned, that you have that help you. Like with the light metering and everything, but like you just see that little dial on the left. Anybody who's used a manual camera will know what I mean. When it comes to your aperture, you have to make sure those line up in your viewfinder. And you have to take your time. You have to be accurate because you have a film canister, you put it in a little film reel. You got maybe what, 30 shots?
Yeah. No, with the manual SLRs, yeah, for sure. You have about 36 at most.
Yeah.
And so then for the Mamiya, you only get 10. So, yeah.
That's pressure. That's exactly. Pressure.
And so loading the camera, too. I messed up a lot on that. And then overshooting and it pulling out of the reel. It's just like, there's a lot. There's a lot to it.
So let me ask, do you get them professionally developed elsewhere or do you actually have your own darkroom?
I need to start developing on my own, but I do it elsewhere. There's a place in Douglasville, the photo spot. I get my point and shoot photos done there. And then I've been trying to find a place for more professional photos. So I've been testing some places out. I don't know where I'm going to stick to yet, but yeah, hopefully I find a good place and it's cheap enough, but I really just need to start doing it myself.
I feel it. Yeah, because it's nothing like being in the dark room. I only did it in school when I first started photography. I started with manual.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And the smell you have to get used to because of the chemicals. Yeah. So you want to be mindful of that. But once you like start, you burn the image onto the paper, then you put in your fixers and developers and all that. And as you continue the process going through the different chemicals, you just start seeing your image appear and you look at it and you did it right in real time.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. I told myself I would get back into film at some point whenever I'm able to. But right now I'm just looking to collect film cameras just so I can have those as a as an aesthetic because I always have an appreciation for it. So if you know somebody with a twin lens that's not looking for a whole bunch of money, shoot them my way.
I might know somebody, but okay, I'll talk to you later about that.
No, yeah, we're gonna do that off the air. All right, so when it comes to, we're gonna draw back just a little bit because I want to get the aspect of your relationships with the people that you shoot with. So when it comes to the planning process, when it comes to the actual execution, what does that relationship and rapport look like with the clients that you work with?
For first timers, it's really just a back and forth trying to learn what they want. Sometimes it's just like, I like this spot, so we're gonna go here, and I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then on set, it's a matter of just talking and making them feel comfortable and asking them questions about themselves, and that just helps. And sometimes we become friends, sometimes it's just like, oh, it's a good acquaintance to have, blah blah blah. But
right,
yeah, it's, I don't know, I really do enjoy that aspect of photography because I was always shy and quiet and I just kept to myself, and I knew how to speak to people, but I just didn't like want to because it would just make me nervous. But now I'm just like, I can talk to people if I want to when I feel like it. And yeah, so as far as clients go, it's just really just finding that location or that look that they want and trying to get them what they want, like make them happy.
No, I feel that. I remember asking clients all the time, it's like, do you like are we looking to build this from the ground up, or do you have an idea that you would like me to re-express? That was always about a very important question, because I got sick of hearing, well, you're the photographer, you figure it out. So it's, I want you to be involved because this is your shoot.
Exactly. You gotta, if you want to pay for creative direction, then sure, we could do that too. But I just want you to be you know?
Your most authentic self. Yeah, and I like the fact that you said that you went from being shy, not talking to anybody, to being like, I'll talk to you if I want to. I love that. That was a boss move. That was a boss move. You've been flexing on me this whole show. So so it's cool too, because I can relate to wanting to build rapport with my clientele. I would usually have a sit down and a vetting process, so that way they can get to know me and I get to know them, so we're not strangers when we're shooting, if I can help it. 'Cause I know it doesn't happen all the time, but anytime I'm able to just have like a small conversation, whether it's FaceTime, whether it's face to face, just a phone conversation, you get to hear my voice, you get to hear how I sound. You have questions, that's the time to ask me, or if you have any, you'll feel more comfortable asking if something comes up later, because we got a chance to really know each other a little bit.
That's smart. It was just something I was never able to bring myself to do just because it made me nervous. So now I just have like a system and it seems to work for me, but I like that a lot.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, we all have our own systems, and I mean, again, you execute good work, so your system is definitely working. So, real quick, tell me like some of your favorite collaborations that you participated in.
Let's see. Let's scroll through my page real quick.
Oh, she said, let me go through my catalog.
So, back in what was this? 2016, end of 2016, I met this photographer. She came from Houston to this festival we were shooting at. We met there. And she was like, "You want to collaborate on the shoot?" I'm like, "Yeah." So she came up with this idea, and it's this black and yellow shoot with four people, and they're like layered in a studio. And we're supposed to shoot this outdoors. Another issue. We're supposed to shoot this outdoors, but it ended up pouring. And then we're like, "Okay." So she figured out a way to get into Cam Kirk Studios for free, and
Wow.
Cam Kirk was there. He's like, "Yeah, you guys can shoot here. This is fine. There's nobody here anyway." So he let us shoot there for free that day, and I'm like, "All right, cool, bet." And we didn't have any lights. We just used the studio's house lights, and the photos came out pretty great. Like the models killed it. Nobody met each other before. Everything came out too perfectly. We even had a stylist, and one of the models was a makeup artist, so she did everybody's makeup. And
Oh wow.
yeah, so that was a cool experience. I like that a lot. Shout out to Sydney Rose.
Hey, shout out. Shout out. I gotta meet this Sydney Rose.
I think she's still out in Houston. Dallas? Dallas or Houston?
Dallas. Got you. Got you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
But yeah, and then of course the car shoot, the 70s car shoot that I did last year with Q, Rebecca, Tango, Selena, Somnia, and Josh. And yeah, that came together. I've had that idea in my head for like 3 years, something like that. And it never felt like the right time to do it.
Sure.
Until I got the Mamiya, and I'm like, "All right, this feels right now. I think I was supposed to shoot this on film." course, I shot both digital and film because that was only my second time using that camera. But they trusted me. Everybody came together. I really can't even explain it. Like, I'm still happy with how that came out because I did not expect it to be that good. And yeah, that really blew me up on multiple platforms.
Now that is awesome. I love that. And I love the fact that you can get a team together, whether you guys know each other or not, and really just create something so epic and memorable for everyone involved. I remember there was this one shoot I did. My homeboy, shout out to Mike, man. He reached out to me. I was at home. I was chilling. I was vibing, watching something or playing something or whatever. And I look at my Instagram. He's like, "Hey, bro, let's get together and shoot." Never met this dude, but he wanted to collab with me. And I was like, "All right, bet, we can do that." He was like, "What do you?" I was like, "What are you trying to do?" And he was like, "Yeah, man, I'm just trying to, kind of get into portrait photography." And I'm like, "Bet, we can do that." So called my homegirl Jules up. Shout out to Jules. She was the makeup artist. Called Tay up. She came through. She was the stylist for the shoot. And then the homie Tim Bowser. Shout out to Tim. He came through at He helped us with lighting. He let us borrow his lighting. And I did it all in my apartment at like 9 in the morning. So we got,
Jeez.
yeah. So like we had to get a board, like this big old wood board to put on the floor because we wanted to kind of lay her in rose petals in like this black dress. So got this big board from a job that Tim used to work. So I had that in my apartment for like 2 weeks just sitting against the wall. They come in with two big old white, like I guess like, I don't know if that's like cardboard or how, well, you used to do the projects on like the big little whiteboards.
Like
Yeah,
the
so
V
they,
flats.
yeah, exactly. So they had those, then they laid them on top of the plank that I had, and then you got them in the bathroom doing makeup, modeling makeup artists. You got us outside vibing, setting up for the shoot, and they bought actual real roses and they're peeling the petals off and they're laying them out for her to lay in. And when I tell you, that was the one of the best Sundays I ever had. And we just had the music going. We all just shooting. We just having a good time, challenging each other, testing lights and shooting natural. I'll have to send you one of those photos because one of my favorites is still my background for my computer today.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
No,
it was
those
so cool.
moments where you were able to gather just a whole bunch of random people, but they're like talented in their own right, and it just feels like a good collaborative process, whether you know them or not. It's the best. Even if the photos aren't even great, it's just like it brings a lot out of you. And it's just
Yeah.
inspiring. Because
Right.
even when we
And
went to the sunflower field, like that was fun. That
yeah.
was inspiring. Like things like that. I definitely need to do that more, but gotta find time and make time. But yeah.
Yeah. It usually gets a little harder as we, get up there and we find other creative ventures to get into. But at the same time, we can put in the effort to do so. What's the homie's name? I just had it in my head, like your good friend I met that day as well. Shout
Mario?
out to him. Mario. Mario. Shout out to Mario. I still have his photo as my Facebook profile photo that he took
Oh,
where
that's
we were
hard.
on the cart in the back and I was looking up.
No,
Yeah, I
yeah,
still
he
got
did a
his.
great job. I'm glad he
Oh
came along
man.
too.
For sure. Yeah, nice dude, man. Shout out to him. But yeah, so with the collaborative efforts that you've had, with the clientele that you're building, with the stories that you're telling, what is next for Essence? What's out here for you? What's going on?
September 16th, yes. I will be in an art show with I think four other photographers, and I just shot for that last Saturday. And yeah, I'm gonna be debuting a new piece there, or new pieces there with
Oh snap.
with that. It's gonna be fun. So that's officially what's next. Other than that, I just go with the flow. But yeah, coming through to the art show.
Awesome. You know what? That was fire. I love that. Hey, I got the art show. Other than that, I'm just going with the flow. I'm just whatever comes to me, that's what's next. I love that. Such an honest answer. And you have definitely shown me, and I'm sure other artists that, with the work that you have, their dreams can be achieved and their goals can be met. Mm-hmm. You have definitely put a mark into the photography game essence, and you have really shown me with just the tools that you've had, that you started with, the tools that you have now, no matter what, you're always going to have a dope story to tell. I'm always in the front row seat looking to see what else you have to offer. We always talk, you know, we'll go back and forth and just seeing what your favorite movies are and the stories. Mm-hmm. And you know, I got a comment for it.
Oh yeah.
So you involve the people in your process whenever you're going to add that cinematography feel to your work. Mm-hmm. So, essence, to the bottom of my heart, to the depths of my creativity, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. You were a treat.
Thank you so much, Blair. I really appreciate this. This is actually fun. I was a little nervous, but yeah, this is good.
Nah, you fam, you have to be nervous on here. You're just letting the people know who you are, young. And I definitely appreciate you sharing your story and sharing your talents with us, and we look forward to seeing more. And in order to see more, we need to have your handle. So tell the people where they can find you.
Instagram, essence.ransom. Ransom is with an E at the end. Website, eransom.com. I sell prints on there as well. Twitter, essenceransom. TikTok, essence.ransom. I don't know. Everywhere else, you can find me. Just Google my name. You'll be okay.
Hey, that's a flex. Hey, Google me. You will find me. Nah, I feel that. So, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure speaking with you. And
thank you.
No problem at all. People, there you have it. That is another episode in the books. Thank you again for tuning in to another dope episode of Creative Conversations. Again, you can find me on Creative Conversations on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So go ahead and hit that like button, rate it 5 stars so we can build up in the algorithm again. Let other people hear the conversations we have. We have so many stories to tell, and we got to keep it going. Until next time, people, stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.